Real people, real opinions, real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hits.
Another story that grabbed my attention. It was a good friend of ours here at the radio station, and also somebody most of us have worked with at some stage. Broadcaster, newsreader, motivational speaker, Tina Gates is on the line. Tina, good afternoon to you.
Hello, how are you?
Tina, you're getting a bit of headlines today for, I suppose, all the wrong reasons, not you personally, but your dad, Terry, he's 94 years of age. He's an elderly man. He's now, you know, he has an acquired brain injury, which has accelerated dementia, and he's in hospital. Give us a little bit of background before we get to the point of the problem that you're having at the moment. I mean, how long has he been ill?
Oh, well, I debate whether he's actually ill.
Right, okay. Okay, he probably feels he's 100%.
Well, I mean, up until a couple of months ago, Dad was climbing ladders and mowing lawns. And
okay.
I was trying to stop him from running here, there and everywhere and... Like when you say somebody's in their 90s, we quite understandably get an image of somebody who's frail and sort of.
I'm looking at a picture of him here. He looks like a grandfella.
He's
flying.
He's wonderful. He's better looking than I am. He's got big, beautiful blue eyes. He can. He's just such an amazing man, and he's always up for devilment and up for a laugh, and very, very active. Now, unfortunately. He and I were out shopping 7 weeks ago, and he had a fall.
Mm-hmm.
Came down horribly hard on his face and his head on the road.
I remember you put the pictures up on Facebook at the time. Yeah.
It seems like an eternity ago, because that was the big crisis at the moment. And I thought he lost consciousness, and I thought I'd lost him. I literally thought it was after.
Because when you think of somebody at that age falling, you always fear the worst. Yeah, of course.
And we had a terrible dilemma in that somebody rang 99 for an ambulance. We were told it was a 2-hour wait for an ambulance. That's a whole other story.
Mm-hmm.
But anyhow, a paramedic helped us peel him up off the road and into my car, and I drove him up to James Connolly A&E. He was released later that night with a broken orbital eye socket, the bone behind his eye. Two badly cut hands, and a bleed on the brain, which was worrying, obviously.
That was concerning. Yeah, the rest, I mean, you could take care of with a bit of love and attention, but the bleed on the brain obviously was concerning for you.
So 2 days later, we were re-presenting him to A&E, and at this stage he was in complete delirium, and this was the second time that I thought I'd lost him, because he didn't recognise me, he didn't recognise his world. He had no idea where he was, who he was. He was, the medical term is that he had delirium.
Right, okay.
So at that stage he was transferred, after being stabilised, he was transferred to Woodlands Medical Unit, which is at the back of Connolly Hospital. And I have to say, before I go any further, they're amazing. They're brilliant.
So we want to make sure that nobody believes this is reflective on the staff and the job
Not
they do to look after
at
them.
All.
Yeah.
They have been so kind, so wonderful, so dedicated, so skilled, so talented, and so, I mean, they've minded me as well as my dad.
Mm-hmm.
They've been wonderful, and the social worker and who's been working on his case, again, doing all the right things, and it must be extremely stressful.
Okay.
For them as well, because they're putting in for supports for him, and that's where we're about to go
to
now.
Okay, so you want to bring him home and look after him. He's your dad, and like most of the children of this country, we believe we owe it to our parents to look after them, and of course you love them to bits, so that's another reason you want to look after him, and you're quite happy to pay a few quid towards that as well.
Yep.
You've no problem, because I know in the past there's been a bit of pressure on you to put him into care, but that's not something you want to do, to put him into a nursing home.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you want to have him at home, and last night I believe was quite emotional for you. Because
he wanted
to come home.
Dad wants to come home. I mean, I know what my dad's wishes are. Dad and I have discussed in a very adult way where he's going and where I'm going. And he has always made it perfectly clear that he doesn't want to end up in a nursing home.
Mm-hmm.
But we've even had the discussion that I've said, Dad, if you don't recognise me, if you don't recognise anything around you, if you need intravenous care, and if I think that, you know, you'd do better in a home than here, I said, then I'd start considering it. And he's happy with that. But as far as he is, you know, hale and hearty and aware of himself, he wants to be at home. And he is hale, hearty and aware of himself. Mm. The Woodland staff have done an amazing job. They've fixed him. I mean, they have literally fixed him. His hands are better. His wounds externally have healed.
He's coherent.
And the bleed has stopped. Yeah. Yeah, he's totally coherent. Now, however, he has an acquired brain injury. Mm. And it's accelerated vascular dementia. So he's my dad, but he's a confused my dad.
So what's the prognosis for that, Tina, with this brain injury and the accelerated dementia? What's the prognosis, or do they give you a prognosis on that?
Yeah, well, it won't get better.
No, obviously not at his age.
But and it will continue to, step by step, get worse.
Okay, so it'll take its toll on his mind over time, over an accelerated time.
If I can put it into perspective, the 24/7 care requirement is because he's capable of hurting himself. The ability to protect himself, the ability to understand danger, that's gone.
Right.
So, like, if there's a pot with oil boiling in it, he'd put his finger in to see if it's getting hot. That kind of a way.
Right. Okay. Yeah, he's just lacking basic common sense, so to speak.
In terms of his own protection and safety, yeah, and he can get agitated and have little spots of periods of time where he gets confused.
But look, you're willing to deal with that as his
completely.
Daughter. Yeah, as long as you get a bit of help.
The other side of that is that, you know, he and I have been discussing the elections, and he's able to, he probably have a saner conversation with me about trends and how the parties are doing than quite a few people that I might interview.
And I'm sure you had a great conversation about politicians sitting on swings over the last 2 days as well.
He's had quite a few chuckles over the course of these. I mean, so that goes to show, you know, his personality is still there. His fun, he's you know, his ability to have a conversation, his ability to know and to be a part of what's happening in the garden, and, you know, he's there worrying about the mowing of the lawn, and he's missing his dog, and I mean, he wants to be at home.
And he was crying last night.
That's the thing that has torn me absolutely limb to limb, and it's making me feel sick all last night and this morning.
I went to leave.
We'd had a lovely visit. We were having great fun and crack, and then I get up to go, and he says, "Can't I come with you?" And I said, "No, Daddy, not yet." And he said, "Well, why?" He said, "I'm better now.
I'm fine." Yeah.
And I said, "Well, they just want to keep an eye on you for another wee while, Daddy." And he turns around and he puts his hand out where he's scarred from where he was cut, and he held his hand out, and he looked at me, he said, "But it's all fixed," he said. And then he picked the mirror up, because I have a mirror in, because he shaves himself with his electric razor. And he picked up the mirror, and he's looking at the place where he had been cut on his head. And he says, "It's all fixed," he said. He said, "Why can't I come home with you now?" And I said, "Well, they just want to make sure it's for you, Daddy. They just want to make sure." And he just looked at me, and he says, "Do you not want me at home?" And I just...
Well, that must have broke your heart.
It did. I couldn't leave. I spent the next 2 hours just with him and trying to explain, and he doesn't grasp it. And
this must be, because I know how close you are to your dad, and this must be heartbreaking for you.
This is killing me. Yeah. But I think it's killing him.
Yeah.
Like, his will for life...
Yeah, and he can come home. I mean, he can come home once you can ensure, you know, the safety of him at home. And to do that, you have to have a home care package.
Here's the other dilemma. I mean, on the one hand, every instinct inside me is that I want to wrap him up, put him under one arm, and leg it.
And kidnap him from the hospital.
You know, that's what I want to do. And I might end up doing that. You know, that's... The overriding feel is what I want to do. And yet the medical profession and the people who've been working with him, who I trust, who have, you know, got him to this stage, they've said to me, "You need support. You need support. And if you take him out without support, you risk him getting hurt."
So this is where the HSE support package comes in.
Yeah, and it's not a huge package. Yeah. I mean, the maximum that they will supply, or the maximum package that they provide is 21 hours.
So it sounds lovely on the website, by the way. It says the HSE website says it's available free to elderly people in this country to facilitate them to live independently at home.
I mean, that has...
Sounds nice, doesn't it?
I have written stories about how well we plan for the elderly in this country, and I feel really as if I've been, you know...
The website seems to have the best intention in the world, but getting this support package seems to be the problem.
Yeah, I mean, you can't tell a 94-year-old person that they need to wait 15 months for a
So what's the story of the package? There's 500 people ahead of them.
Now, here we go. When it comes to the maths, I'm working with what I've got, okay? I know, if we look at the care package itself, their maximum package is 21 hours. Now, I have, in the past, I'm with a home care agency, a private agency, because whenever I used to go out for long shifts, I used to hire somebody to come in and just make sure
it's
halfway.
Yeah.
They'd only come in for an hour or two just to check that he was okay and that he remembered to eat. And because people of that age, if they don't eat regularly or drink regularly, they get dehydrated very quickly. And then dementia or no dementia, they're going to get confused, you know, and could have a slip or a fall. So I had already been in the habit of hiring private care from an agency. Now, that cost me €25 an hour. So if that's the price I'm getting, I'm sure the government can get that or less. But if we take it as €25 an hour, that means for a 21-hour care package, it's in around €500 roughly.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's the sort of money that we're talking about for their maximum package.
Yeah.
And for me and for people like me to be able to facilitate our loved ones at home. Now, I'm being told, and I don't know if this is absolutely accurate, but I'm being told that hospital bed that he's in is costing anything up to €6,000 a week.
Between the staff and the hospital ward and the care he's getting and consultants coming around to check he's all right and observation and meds and everything else that goes along with it. Absolutely, it probably is. Should we see the bills we get from our private health insurance when we end up in hospital for a while?
So I'm looking at, you know, well, that's a very good point, actually. I've been in hospital. I know how much they cost me from my bed.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's me. So I'm doing the math and I'm looking 500, 5,000 plus. Like, you know, how can this be a problem?
They're saving at least €5,000 by letting you bring him home and giving him the support package. But that doesn't make sense to our government because they'd rather just waste taxpayers' money.
Well, the thing is, I don't think anybody's deliberately doing anything wrong. Do you know?
I'm not blaming the hospital staff. This is the system. The system I'm talking about. Yeah.
But I mean, I also don't think that, you know, that our TDs and are sitting at home, you know, rubbing their hands together and thinking, now how can we be mean to the pensioners this week either? But it's that somewhere the thinking isn't being joined up. Like, we're totally conscious about, for instance, Trolley Watch. And the whole big buzz in the media for the last number of years has been Trolley Watch and the maximum. And that's awful. And Dad was on a trolley. He's been at that side. Mm-hmm. But do we now need to have a home watch?
Yeah, I mean, Fred just texted in. He says, I'm really sorry to hear about the situation. He says, but he says, now the government looks at the elderly and the less well off as a burden to the state. I said, I don't know, Fred, if that's actually true. But in saying that, the 500 ahead of them, at what point have you calculated how long that might take? And sadly, it'll take 499 people to pass away, maybe before your dad will actually get the support package.
To pass away, to get the package, to go on to a nursing home, perhaps.
Yeah.
You know, there's, and this is the thing. If somebody came back to me and said, well, it takes 3 weeks to sort this out. Now, forget about the fact we've already passed the 3 week mark. But if somebody said to me, it will take us 3 weeks to get your dad home, or, you know, to get this support package, I'd say, okay, that's realistic. Okay, you've got admin and everything else. I could deal with that. But no, the line that I have is people who are in hospital awaiting home support packages are treated with as a priority and are dealt with as soon as possible.
That's vague, isn't it?
That doesn't mean anything.
No, it doesn't mean anything at all.
And then we
is the problem, Tina, as well, that we don't have enough carers to provide these packages?
I don't think so. And I'll tell you why I don't think so. Because I've been, as I say, with a care agency, and because I've been now actively for the last number of weeks, because I had anticipated him coming home and I thought he'd be home by now, I've interviewed staff. Because knowing that I'd need a care team and that I would be willing and able, fortunately, to be able to pay for a little of that, I'd been out there interviewing. So I was inundated. I put a simple ad out online and it was inundated with people who were looking for work, who were trained, committed, Garda vetted, wonderful people with experience who were looking for work. And the stories that they had to tell were horrendous. And they had issues with, well, first of all, not having hours, not being able to get hours, because the packages aren't being rolled out, so they're not being hired to deliver them. So they're short of work. But also, their system is extremely difficult to work within because they have one-hour visits and even half-hour visits that they have to provide. And they have to travel between clients. They're not being paid for traveling between clients. They're having to deal with perhaps somebody who's vulnerable, mm-hmm. who needs personal care, as in, you know, toiletry and washing.
Just on that note, by the way, Jennifer from Galway just texted in as well. She says, hi, can you please tell your listeners they might be interested? The free event has been run in Galway on the 13th of June. It's a virtual dementia tour, which allows you to experience what it's like to have dementia. And all are welcome. And it's from Jennifer, Right to Stay at Home, Galway.
That's brilliant. Thank you, Jennifer. Yeah, I'll check that out.
Yeah, yeah. So it might be interesting for people to give some people... And I know a friend of mine who had two parents who had dementia, and some of the stories he told me were hilariously funny, mind you. Not that they should be, and he told me them in a fun way, where he came home one day and found his mother cooking the carpet for his father. And and he said he had to actually introduce the two of them to each other every morning. And tell each other. And he said, at the time, but it came to an end when his father decided one day to take the car out for a drive on the wrong side of the road. So while he was out, and unfortunately the two of them ended up having to go into a care home. Well, what broke his heart was, they had to go into separate care homes.
Oh, no, how could you do that to a couple?
I know, he had no choice. It was just the way it worked. But he said they didn't know each other anymore.
Yeah. Oh, no, but at the same time, oh, no. Well, I've heard of cases where people do know each other and they have been separated and put into separate facilities.
Oh, that would be awful.
Which to me seems incredibly...
yeah, absolutely.
Just unbelievably.
Well, look, I know you don't want to go down that road. The bottom line is there's only 500 people ahead of you in this, and sadly, but those 500 people have to either go into care homes or sadly pass away before your dad will get an opportunity to get the support package. And I suppose the answer is we need more support packages, because invariably we could save taxpayers, which is ultimately what this is all about as well. Not just about caring for your dad and caring for the elderly, it's also about, you know, the best use of taxpayers' money. I have to
butt in on you, because the one thing that I do want to say that has totally taken me by surprise was when I penned my or tiptoed with my two-finger job and put up my post on Facebook saying about my situation, and what began with just a simple post and turned into an open letter to the minister, what I didn't foresee was the fact that it would go viral and that hundreds of people would contact me saying that they're in the same situation. So while I'm primarily obviously concerned about my dad, I now feel duty-bound to point out that there are hundreds of people who have identified themselves as being in the same situation and worse, and more appalling, hundreds of people, at least about two of every five that have told me that they're in this situation, they've told me that they have actually lost a loved one while they were waiting. Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned about the fun and, you know, the joy of being, you know, with somebody with dementia. It's not all doom and gloom. Mm-hmm. I mean, anybody who looks after a parent or a loved one does it because it's a privilege. It's mm-hmm. a joy. It's, that's probably lost in the mix. When you're asking for support, it sounds as if you don't want to be doing the caring.
We kind of owe it to them, don't we? I mean, they brought us into the world. They looked after us for 18 years. So we kind of owe it to them, don't we?
But it's not even that. It's a joy. Mm-hmm. I mean, you love being with this person. You love their stories. And them being slightly dotty doesn't take away from that. It adds to it. And there is moments of humour. And there's moments of pure beauty. And like my dad stroking my hand and looking into my eyes and telling me a great daughter. I can't buy that. That's just a special thing that I've been able to have the privilege of knowing and understanding. And like there's so much joy in caring. And we shouldn't have to spend those precious moments, because who knows, you know, today might not come tomorrow.
Yeah,
if
I know
get
what you mean.
My drift.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we shouldn't have to spend those moments, those precious moments that we want to be with them, battling for just a little bit of support to make them comfortable. And again, it sounds, and I feel as if we're being made to sound as if we don't want to care. We do. We're joyous about the ability and the love and the opportunity of looking after our loved ones.
Okay, well, hang on just for a second, Tina. By the way, Jennifer texted back in. She said, thanks very much for mentioning that. It's on in Dublin and Cork as well. Anybody who wants to go to the website, www.riteathome.ie. Now, sorry, Mary, you're on Classic Kids. Mary, you're in a similar situation to Tina.
Well, good afternoon, Niall. I sympathise with Tina, number one. Yes, in a sense, both my elderly parents are living at home. Last year, my mother was diagnosed with Alzheimer's. I went to the healthcare staff for care for them. They want to remain at home. We as a family would like them to remain at home for as long as possible. Circumstances may change. We are aware of that. Mm. I got 7.5 hours per week, and I was told that was share time. My father is 88. My mother is 89. Dad has ailment, heart and diabetes, and mom has Alzheimer's. And we got 7.5 hours, I was told, to share time. Now, in the last few months, mom has deteriorated. We're dealing with a sundowning condition in the afternoon. I've went back to my healthcare staff and asked that the time be increased. I was more or less told they couldn't do it. I brought out the nurse. As late as last Tuesday, brought her back out again. And I've been told by her as late as Tuesday, well, your dad is getting 1/4 hour of that 7.5 hours.
A quarter of an hour.
Yes, 15 minutes. Now, the new policy, anybody now looking for home care, it's not brought in as yet, I do believe, well, at least that's what I've been told, but they're planning on bringing it in, that you apply and you're told it's specifically for washing. The home care assistants will no longer, whenever this will be sanctioned, able to dress a bed, or put food in front of the elderly, they will be specifically employed to wash.
And why is that? So, why are they changing it?
I have no idea now. You'll ask a question, you'll get an answer, whatever suits. Like one person told me, the 7.5 hours was share time, and I'm over a year having accepted that, to be told last Tuesday that he was getting 15 minutes. They expect an 88-year-old man to look after his 89-year-old woman, wife, with Alzheimer's. We as a family are doing the best we can. We cook food in advance and we have it there prepared in the freezer for the home care assistant. We have a lovely plan going with her insofar as she'll prepare the dinner. When the meat is cooked and it's in the freezer, she'll take out
something. And when this new plan comes along, she won't be allowed to do that anymore.
This is it. So, in other words, our elderly will be washed, but if they're dying with the hunger, too bad. Who's going to come in and do that? This is now what I was told as late as last Tuesday. So if you apply now for home help...
Were you aware of that, Tina?
No, I wasn't.
I wasn't aware of that.
I'm so sorry that you're going through this.
Tina, you're in another predicament, and I sympathise with you. It was only last night somebody told me about you, and I checked it out, and my heart went out to you. Your dad is in the hospital, you can't bring him home. This is appalling. Elderly people are being treated like vermin, I'm sorry, but it's hard to take. My mom got a fall last Thursday. I had requested extra help. I wasn't given the extra help. Well, I did get so cross on Friday when I was talking to the healthcare staff to be told, well, we had planned to go out to see your mom today. This was Friday. How great. Am I supposed to believe that, or is it just the fact she fell the day before? We'll cover our tail. We'll visit on Friday.
See, the thing about it, I'm listening to both of you here, and I'm sorry I can't give it as much time as it probably deserves, but loads of people are texting in very similar situations. Somebody else says in relation to carers, they're getting paid pittance for doing a hard job now. The biggest problem is they can't get the people to actually do the job. That's probably the nub of the problem here, isn't it?
I don't think so. I think it's the funding. I think it's under-resourced and I think it's underfunded. Because as I said, my experience when I was, you know, speaking to carers, was that there are so many who cannot get hours because packages aren't being rolled out.
Mm-hmm.
So I do totally agree that they're underpaid and not appreciated enough. But I think that there's plenty of them out there. It's just that we're not putting enough money into this end or this part of the healthcare system.
Well, just finally, because I've only got a minute left, but Tina, you know, you're in a good position that you work in the media. You're a motivational speaker. You've written books, so people do listen to you. Is there anything that you can do personally, I suppose, to make this better for everybody else, like Mary and like other people who
possibly
are listening to you?
I was contacted, I know you're short in time, so I was contacted last night by a group which I hadn't heard of before called Sage Advocacy. And they've issued a statement calling on the government to look at the whole Fair Deal system again and to introduce a new deal that looks at the way that we provide and fund care for the vulnerable in society who want to be in their homes or who are going into homes. Mm. And they're basically looking at how the whole structure is set up and how it should be funded. And I haven't read all their paperwork, but I'm going to.
All right, well, look, loads of people texting in. That lady's story is so sad. Another person says, thank you very much indeed for mentioning this morning. Another person says, Niall, wonderful to listen to Tina. She's an inspiring lady and hopefully she can do a lot more to help others as well as herself. Listen, thank you very much, Tina, and I wish Terry and yourself the best of luck and keep us up to date on what's happening.
I will. Thank you.
All right, there you go. Broadcaster Tina Gates talking about her father, Terry, nearly 94 years of age, wants to call him. It's heartbreaking, isn't it, to listen to the fact that he was crying last night and just wanted to come home. And he said he feels better, he's fixed, he's mended. He just wants to come home, and she wants to bring him home, but she can't unless the government will supply her with a HSE support package to make sure that he's obviously insured, that he's safe in his own home and safe in the home with Tina. But there isn't any packages available, and he's 500 on the list. For God's sake. You know, if that's the case, you know, people could be in hospital and sure, they could be dead by the time they get the HSE support package. They could be months waiting.
Real people, real opinions, real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic Hit.